EHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Joined now all the way from maybe snowy Knoxville. I don't know. Jason Swain joins us. Man, it snowed here all morning. It didn't amount to anything, but it was good to look at. Did you you guys get any of the white stuff over there?
Same exact thing.
Okay.
It snowed, came down around 11:30, 12 here, and for the most part, it's all gone.
So, Swain, Butch Jones is now the, what is he, the special assistant to the head coach. Mm. Does that take him off the University of Tennessee payroll?
No, it doesn't, man. it doesn't. What is that? Well, I mean, how's that different than what he was doing before, which was, I guess, what Nick Saban called an intern? How is that different than before?
I don't know. I don't maybe know what the job just, responsibilities would be because Nick Saban.
He's been there so long. Maybe they just wanted him to have a better title.
Does he turn the weather channel on the television before Saban gets in his office? Because that's what he does first thing every day. He watches the weather channel.
Maybe he unwraps the oatmeal cream pies because that's the other thing. He has a couple of those, right? And a cup of coffee.
I mean, he's like Tommy from Martin back in the day. He just won't get a job, man. Get a real job.
Well, I mean, Colorado's still looking, dude. It's been like 6 months, it feels like.
Get a real job, man. Golly.
Well, you know this, Swain, and I've had friends who had an opportunity to work at, you know, mid-major schools on the field, but they might go to a Power 5 school and work off the field, and they tell me, if you stay off the field long enough, people kind of stop looking at you that way. I mean, at some point, you have to go back in some capacity and get back on the field and start coaching again.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Me and Jimmy Sexton have kind of been working together. Not really indirectly, but every time there's a job opening, trust me, I'm the first person who's like, hey, Colorado. Hey, Michigan State. Hey, anybody, hire Butch Jones, please, and keep him off Tennessee's payroll. So I'll be very vocal helping Butch Jones find a job.
And with all seriousness, and I like Butch, but
I was being serious.
Yeah, I know. But no, seriously, he doesn't, like, he can't just go, people say, why can't he just go be a coordinator? Like, what is he going to coach? Offense, defense? Like, that's not his thing.
Well, yeah, he's never really been a coordinator at a big school. Guys like Mike Bajakian and Mark Elder kind of made him look really, really good there in 2013 and 14 when they were a part of Tennessee staff. So, most head coaches have been either offense coordinator, defense coordinator, and right. he hasn't done that. And it's crazy because even Derek Dooley has been an offense coordinator now, you know, in the SEC. So,
well, I think that's what makes it hard for him to start over, really.
Well, sounds like he's starting over right now.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, what is this five-star running back, Zachary Evans, now going to visit Florida? What in the world is going on with this kid? For those that don't know, signed with Georgia and then didn't want to go there, so now he's opened it back up and is looking at Tennessee and Ole Miss and now Florida, apparently.
Yeah. And, you know, he graduated, so he's just kind of training. Last I heard, he was training right there in your hometown, right there where you guys are, Nashville. So I hope he comes in and he's like Adrian Peterson because I haven't really seen this happening in recruiting. And if you remember Adrian Peterson was like the best back in college football his freshman year. So hopefully Zach Evans comes in and has that type of production because, you know, he has made some schools do a lot of work for him.
Jason Swain, our guest. Well, let's talk about players a little bit who are already in school. I guess there's some proposed legislation, and a lot of people are sounding off on this, would give players the right to transfer with immediate eligibility. I saw Mark Richt had tweeted about that and essentially said, okay, well, you develop some players, and when I want them, I'll just come get them. And you'd had a response to that, you know, maybe since all this is built on players, maybe they could stand to have some more rights.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones that put their bodies on the line. They're the ones that, you know, when they get injured 10 years later, 20 years later, they have injuries. So, I mean, allow them to at least be able to go somewhere where they want to go. And people are so afraid of, you know, the rules being kind of twisted and you know, people taking advantage of the rule. Well, that's always going to happen. And everything that we do, there's always people that take advantage of the rule. But you got to do what's right and allow the players to leave if they want to one time. You know, you look at the Mel Tucker situation, and every single year there's a coach that goes out, recruits a class, tells the family he's not going anywhere. And you understand why that coach would leave because he just got a heck of an offer. Right. I don't blame Mel Tucker for leaving at all, but it puts the players in a really bad spot because now they can't leave. So why not just let them leave one time, exception, and hey, go from there.
Jason Swain with us at Swain Event on Twitter, SwainEvent.com, his website.
The rise of John Fulkerson has been one of the more interesting Vol stories of the last few years. And we were talking to Drew Maddox earlier, and he brought him up, and different people have. And I think Brent said he went from 3 points a game to 13. And
it's something like that.
And I think Drew had said, you know, at some point you're going to have to start talking about him as all conference. Do you remember a guy just kind of coming out of nowhere in any sport like he has?
That's a good one. I remember when Josh Richardson first was recruited, and he was only supposed to be like a defense specialist. That's it. And then all of a sudden, voila, I mean, offensively, he is making it happen for Donnie Tindall in his last year. And I know John still has another year left of eligibility here in Tennessee, but it really reminds me of that because Fulkerson last year was a role player, kind of an energy guy, rebound, block shots, get on the floor, and get loose balls. But, you know, they're throwing the ball to him in the post, and, you know, he's making things happen. He has an array of moves. Now, one of those moves, the spin move, South Carolina and Vanderbilt kind of waiting on those moves for the charge. But, I mean, offensively, he's been Tennessee's best option at times.
Yeah, definitely the most consistent. And we had Rick Barnes on yesterday, and I asked him when he went back and watched the first half again, did he still think that it was pathetic? And he said it was worse than that when he went back and watched it.
It was bad. Yeah. It was bad. And you know, I just think about, you know, January the 26th, we got some of the worst news ever in the world of sports. And that was the passing of Kobe Bryant. And since that, you've just seen so many people who play the game of basketball, high school, college, pro, you know, honor Kobe and how they play the game. And that's giving their all, that's having focus, that's playing with great energy. We saw the All-Star game just take a life of its own, and that was great basketball to see. And I just think that there shouldn't be a basketball team at any level that goes out and has a first half like Tennessee where, you know, effort wasn't a problem, but it was the focus that was a problem. It was not taking care of the basketball. And I just think we just kind of owe it to Kobe just to do everything the way that he attacked the basketball game. And that's kind of what I thought of when I was looking at the first half of the Tennessee game. I was like, man, this is like unwatchable basketball. This is terrible. So I'm pretty sure they saw that on film, and they'll correct that as they approach, you know, the SEC tournament.
Swain, on the way out, we actually played this earlier in the week. Trey Smith won the Jason Witten Collegiate Man of the Year Award, and his speech was unbelievable. And basically he said, you know, I was told you can't do this anymore, and you're going to tell me I can't do this anymore. And then he went from there, a promise he'd made to his mother on her deathbed. I've told everybody I could find, hey, take a couple minutes and listen to this guy's speech. It will fire you up. What a fantastic human being Trey Smith is.
He's just special. And that's the thing we just love about college sports. As a Tennessee fan, you know, we get an up close and personal look. But, you know, Florida got that with Tim Tebow. Rutgers got that with Eric LeGrand. South Carolina fans got that with Marcus Lattimore. You know, every once in a while, we get young men that come through basketball, football, you know, young ladies that come through their respective sports. And they're just special. And Trey Smith is just, he's just a special human being.
Well, Swain, we always appreciate the time, man. Always great catching up with you at Swain Event for people to follow all your adventures on Twitter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Jason Swain on 104.5 The Zone, presented by Gary Ashton of RE/MAX Advantage. Looking to sell your home? Want to sell it quickly and for top dollar? Then call Gary Ashton of RE/MAX Advantage at 615-301-1650 or online at GaryAshton.com. Gary Ashton, the official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators.
The Big Six with Will Bowling is coming up next year on The Zone, but before